You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are coming back to Atlanta. Right now. Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Scandal and Vice, or Sugar and Spice, it's naughty but nice.
Hello, 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 hello. Welcome to the Naughty But Nice Show. I'm your host, Rob Shooter, and it is Wednesday, which means our dear friend Donnie Meacham, Donnie with the good hair, joins us. Hey, Donnie, are you there?
Hello, hello, hello. Oh, Beyonce's coming for my look. She started that new hairline. I'm like, no, sweetie, I'm supposed to have the best hair in the business.
You have the best hair.
Sweetie. People don't know this. Rob, you have fabulous hair. Too. You have fabulous.
Thank you very much. I do have fabulous hair. We both have fabulous hair. Look at us. Everyone's going to be so annoyed with us. We haven't even started the show yet. We're bragging. It's so
about
obnoxious.
Ourselves. The best about ourselves. Part of the show.
It's about me, you. Me. Okay, it's actually about all the naughty. So let's jump in. What time is it, my friends? It is tea time. Big story at the top of the show. Kim Kardashian is talking about her marriage to Kanye West. Kim has tried to stay away from this subject, but she's sitting down. She's doing a massive interview with Jay Shetty on his podcast. And she said the marriage was beautiful, but I can't help him. So Kim said she does not consider her marriage to be a failure, but she reflected on their beautiful but broken union, saying that you can't help people who don't want to be helped. Now, let's be clear here. Kim did not actually name her ex-husband. She didn't say Kanye West. But she spoke at length about previously having different views with somebody in her life whom she didn't have the power to change. She said the following quote, "You can't force your beliefs and projects on someone that thinks something totally different." She went on to say that they actually struggled to coexist very, very well. And although she does believe having different opinions can be good, it can be an okay thing, at the end of the day, she said you've got to agree about your core values, your core morals, and all that really important stuff. I think she's making a lot of sense here. What do you think?
Yes, and you know what? There's a lot of I don't always agree with Kim Kardashian. You know, the whole family, I feel, are a little too me, mm-hmm. as we brag about ourselves at the beginning of the show. But the thing is I will respect her in the fact that she could say a lot of things about Kanye West because I'm sure all the things he has said publicly, oof, I would imagine he has said worse behind yes. closed doors, via text message, via phone call. And she has really risen above that. And I think that that is respectful, especially for someone who has made their billions off of airing their dirty laundry.
Yeah, it shows such restraint, doesn't it? Because you're right. She's made billions from telling everything. We've seen everything too. Mm-hmm. And so for her to show restraint, I think is a really powerful thing. But I do agree, she went on to say, it's okay to realize that life is short and you should go and find the people that align with what you really believe in. I've done that in my life. I know a lot of people, but my friends, my closest friends, we have the same values. We have the same core values. I don't think you should close yourself off to the world. I think it's very healthy to meet people, to enjoy people, to have friends with different opinions. But when it comes to a partner, I think you've got to share some basic fundamental values. Bruce and I, my husband, we disagree on a lot of stuff, but the fundamentals about life, fairness, what we think is very, very similar. Donnie, we have very similar values. One of the reasons we became friends is not only do we love to laugh, and we both have, as you've pointed out, marvellous hair, but we do share a common view of the world. We agree on our politics, on our core values. I think that is the key to this, particularly with a romantic partner. Donnie, could you see yourself with somebody who had very different values to you?
No, like I wouldn't be able to marry Donald Trump. Like, let's put that out there. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I am open to the idea. My family is from the South. I was born and raised in the South. They're a bit conservative, and I think that that is okay. I think because at the core, we believe that people are good, and we want to see the best for people. But if somebody was so drastically different and just not a nice person and had negative view on people and negative view on the world, that would be hard to overlook.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. That's how we're friends. I see the world really optimistically. I think people are really good when you boil them down past all their pain and anger and whatever's triggering them. I genuinely believe most people are good. Which brings us to our poll question of the day. Kim Kardashian is talking about her marriage to Kanye. She said it was beautiful, but she can't help him. That's the statement that I thought was so interesting. You can't help somebody who doesn't want to be helped. What do you think about that? Is she right? Can you help people who don't want to be helped? Go vote on our Twitter page at Naughty Nice Rob, our Facebook page, which is Naughty Gossip, and be sure to check back tomorrow to hear your results. Hey, Donnie, what are you working on?
Oh, this Ozempic, it really is the new Trim Spa. Remember Trim Spa back in the days? It was like the miracle, like weight loss drug.
Well, but apparently this one actually works.
Everybody on Hollywood, we know a few people on Ozempic. Everybody in Hollywood is on Ozempic, but Kyle Richards is coming out, setting the record straight on whether or not she has used Ozempic. And she says, I can say that I have never tried it and I have never taken it, she told Page Six. I'm not on any weight loss drug. If you know me, you know I have terrible anxiety, so that would scare me to death. I have never, ever taken it. And I think what it is here is like a lot of celebrities who have recently might have lost weight, people are immediately assuming they're on Ozempic or assuming they're on some miracle weight loss drug. And I'm just going to say this. If you are on it, there is nothing wrong with it. It is a doctor-prescribed drug, and that is totally okay. It's just that when it becomes a celebrity thing, sometimes it takes on a negative connotation here of like, you're trying not, you don't want to do the right things. Like, you don't want to eat right. You don't want to go to the gym. You just want to rely on a drug. And that's not true in everybody's case.
No, it's not true. People look at it almost like cheating, but certain people just, they need that extra little bit of help. And I'm all for that. What's interesting here is that Kyle is really going out of her way to sort of make this claim. So what if people think you're on a weight loss drug? They're not saying you're doing heroin. Like, I don't get the passion about this. It's almost as if she feels that if she did a weight loss drug, she would be cheating. And I think we've got to get rid of that mentality. Do what's right for you, and it's nobody else's business. But to feel shame yourself, that's what it feels like here. Her statement is so much bigger than anybody really asking any questions. She's not Angelina Jolie also. These reality stars, these housewives, they think the whole world is focused on them. It's really not. In fact, to be honest, Kyle, had you not said anything, I wouldn't have even looked at your pictures and noticed.
Yeah, it was probably one fan on Instagram that asked, sweetie, are you on a Ozempic? And she was like, nope. She called up Page Six and she was like, I got to declare, I'm not on Ozempic. I have anxiety. Put it out there. Post.
That's what Page Six is like. We didn't ask. Like, stop calling us. They do know how to make news. They really, really do. Maybe that's why they're housewives. It's a skill. You have to be this self-absorbed and this full of yourself to be a really successful, real housewife. We've met them all, Donnie. We've met lots and lots of them. The ones that are the most successful, unfortunately, are the ones that play the game the hardest, that know how to make it about themselves. Remember my friend, the producer I introduced you to, who was a reality show producer, Donnie, and you yes. asked her, you said, will Rom ever be a reality star? And she said, no, because he's not a monster. And I was really flattered. And she said that most of the people she's remained friends with are the ones that don't really become successful in the reality world, because it takes this sort of special chip. They're like avatars. They think differently. Kyle, I think I'm happy you've set the record straight, but I'm not really sure it needed to be set straight. No more needs to be said. Okay, moving along. Nick Jonas is talking about his tragic performance with Kelsey Ballerini that landed him in therapy. So he revealed that his infamous performance at the 2016 Academy of Country Music Awards landed him in therapy. He said he joined the country star on stage for a rendition of her song, Peter Pan. I'm not even really sure why he was there. It's the Country Music Awards. He's not a country artist. It's not his song. But nevertheless, he took the stage and he said, just moments after starting the duet off just fine, he realised that he was off key in his guitar solo. He said the following, quote, I started off fine and I walked towards her and I completely blanked and I hit the wrong note and blacked out basically and clocked that it was wrong, but I just couldn't stop myself. I love this. We're not on stage with country music artists. We're not at stage at the Academy Awards and stuff, Donnie, but in our real life, has that ever happened to you? You know what you're doing is wrong and you just can't stop.
Oh yeah, I think a lot of times with us, like, we do live TV, we do live hits, whether it's on, you know, MSNBC or Good Day New York, and there are times where I have, like, started talking and then I've blacked out and then I just forgot. I was like, what am I talking about? So then you just say things, but you know what you're saying makes zero sense, or you're spinning in circles. But the problem with something like this is once you're there, you can't come out of it unless you just stop talking.
It's so interesting. In life, too, even if you're not on TV or making podcasts, I've been at dinners where I've started to talk and I'm like, nobody here is interested. Nobody's laughing. And I've got to stop talking and I've got to figure out a way to quickly end this paragraph, this sentence, this story that I'm telling, and I just cut to the chase, and then I laughed at my own joke, and then I pass the peas, and I move along. It's amazing, isn't it? I love that Nick is telling this story. Google the performance. It was rough. It was rough. But I love that now he can at least poke a little bit of fun at himself. Okay. What is going on with Ramona Singer and her ongoing war with Teresa Giudice?
Oh, Ramona Singer, she is backing Caroline Manzo's claim that Teresa Giudice is a fame-hungry monster. So Caroline, she took to Instagram and said, I miss the days of season one, Teresa. I do. That's what makes me so sad. Aww. Because we have belly laughs. She goes, we were there for each other. We were on this journey. Then she goes on to say, like, fame is a very, very dangerous thing. And if you are not completely grounded in who you are, you believe the bull blank. Mm-hmm. The fame got to her head. Basically, she says, she goes on to call her a monster. This is the part that's rough. She said she would step on anybody to get ahead. Oh. And of course, Ramona Singer, being the forever petty Betty that she is, she liked it. She approved of that mess.
Of course she did. She's a petty Betty. I love that. It's interesting, isn't it, that when they all started out on this journey of housewives, they were all just in the beginning phases. They hadn't really tasted the poison, the drug, the dessert even of fame. But Teresa really tasted it very quickly. We've met all these ladies. I gotta say that Teresa has probably changed the most. Ramona wasn't very nice on season one, and she's not very nice now. So even though that she's become famous, I can't say it really went to her head because she thought she was a star when nobody knew who she was. So I've got to be honest, Ramona was always difficult. Teresa was a sweetheart in season one. I did a pilot with her for a TV show, and she turned up. She was easy. She was funny. She was in on the joke. Not so much now. Okay, quickly before we get a break, Mike Tyson is claiming that Jamie Foxx had a stroke. So he said on a podcast, he's not feeling well, talking about Jamie Foxx. They said he had a stroke. Then Tyson realised what he had said and tried to clarify it by adding, I have no idea what happened to him. This is moments after saying he had a stroke. Now, the famed athlete admitted that he thinks it's very odd that Foxx's family have been so secretive about the condition. That's why we're talking about it, because they're being so hush-hush. He said, if we don't know about what's going on now, they don't want us to know. Now, the actor Jamie Foxx is set to play Mike Tyson in a big new biop series. I can't wait to see it. If this does happen, there is something going on with Jamie Foxx, and people are saying it's a stroke. We do not have any reporting to back that up, but we're sending you, Jamie, our best. Hey, we're going to take a quick break and we will be right back. Welcome back to the Naughty But Nice Show. I'm with Shirley with our friend Donnie Meacham. Hey, Donnie, let's get to the polls. Da, da, da. Thank you, darling. Yesterday we talked about Taylor Swift seemingly breaking her silence on Matt Healy and whether or not she's dating. She said her life now makes total sense. Our question was, has Taylor finally found the one? Now, I know we've said this many, many times over. Let's have a look. 30% said yes. Only 30% think he is the one. If history is any indication, you're probably right. Don't forget to vote on today's poll. Go to our Twitter page at Naughty Nice Rob. Our Facebook page is Naughty Gossip. And be sure to check back tomorrow to hear your results. And now it's time for our nicest of the day.
The nicest of the day is somebody that Rob used to work for. Her name is Jennifer Lopez. And she is revealing that her twins, they are struggling with the feeling of being judged for having famous parents. So her parents are Jennifer Lopez and Mark Anthony. And also their stepdad is now Ben Affleck, so it's even more famous. And she goes on to say that, I think being the child of famous parents is really not something that many people can understand. And I feel for my kids because they didn't choose that. So her twins are 15 years old. And 15 years old is really a time where you're kind of coming into your own. So they know exactly what is being said about their mom on social media. They're reading Page Six. They're seeing these People magazine articles about her and Ben. But she does go on to say, she's like, I haven't talked to them a lot about this, but they just have started letting me know how people treat them. So when they walk into the room, that's what people are thinking about. They're not seeing them for who they are. And I think that it has to be a really hard thing for them. I'd love to protect them from that. And the truth of the matter is, when Max and Emmy walk into a room, you're not going, there's 15-year-old kids. What you're saying is, that's J-Lo's twins.
Yeah. And yeah, it's hard, isn't it? I love that Jennifer understands this, that is thinking about this. I remember going backstage at a Madonna concert to see Madonna, and Lourdes walked in and everybody screamed, Madonna's daughter's here, not Lourdes. They didn't see Lourdes. They saw the daughter of Madonna. J-Lo's kids are going to have this too, and I'm not sure there is much she can do about it, but the fact she recognises it, the fact Jennifer is aware about this, that has to be a good thing. Tricky, isn't it? Okay, let's do our naughtiest of the day. Naughty, naughty, naughty. Jeez. Let's talk about how the privacy laws differ between the UK and the US. So obviously Harry and Meghan is the reason we are doing this, but first of all, we have to remember that the US legal laws, the system, it's not one system because it's so many different states. So what might be considered a reasonable right to privacy in California probably won't be the same in New York. It means that in Los Angeles, the paparazzi behavior, it's relatively controlled, although press photographers in the UK have much stronger restrictions. So it's interesting that the UK is much stricter about paparazzi than America. It's a complicated argument that Harry and Meghan are making. They left the UK to get away from the media, where actually they do have more rights, more protection from the media, especially paparazzi, than they do here in America. In New York City, the state constitution doesn't uphold privacy at all. Not at all. An example of this is that Sarah Jessica Parker every morning would walk her kids to school and the paparazzi would be on the street and she'd say hello. They even knew each other by name. They'd take a picture and she'd walk. She probably didn't like it, but there was nothing she could do about it. If you're on a public street, if you're not in a private home, people can take your picture, even if you don't want them to. So it's a tricky, tricky situation for Harry and Meghan, but hopefully that explains a little bit about the difference about the rules. Hey, let's end with a moment of Rob. You get a Rob, you get a Rob, you get a Rob, you get a Rob. 80% of success is just showing up. You've got to show up. It's better to show up and not be great than not to show up at all. I struggle with this because many nights I'd rather just sit on the couch with Darby and a box of chocolates. But you gotta get up. You gotta go out. You've got to show up. That is it for today. Thank you so much for listening to the Naughty But Nice with Rob and Donnie show, a production of iHeartRadio. Don't forget to subscribe on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen. Leave us a review if you can. And remember, all together now, if you're going to be naughty, you've got to be nice.
Nice.
Take care, everybody. Bip, bip.
It's Naughty But Nice with Rob.
You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.